We'll take this morning the priest as a spiritual father, as a confessor, and we'll speak about the life of the priest, his prayer, especially his prayer. I said yesterday that the main role of the priest is to guide the others in the way of salvation. We know about from the fathers of the church that this way of salvation passes by three steps. The first one is purification, the second is illumination, and the third is sanctification or glorification. And I said that the practical way to acquire this quality, this possibility for the priest to guide someone in this way, and as Sayyidina said, in the way of the kingdom of God, is by essentially by prayer and fasting. I can tell you something personal. When I passed 2 years and 3 months in Mount Athos, and I became monk there, took the schema. When I left Mount Athos to return to Lebanon, to my country, because of the metropolitan who asked us to return. In spite of the war, we had a civil war in Lebanon, but we returned in the war to live. It was the counsel of our spiritual father in the monastery of St. Paul. He told us, we accept for you to return to your country, but you have to live in a monastery as monks. But anyway, he told us we were three. Now he is the Metropolitan of Europe, John Yazici. He was deacon, and I was priest in Mount Athos, and another monk with us, two Lebanese and one Syrian, Father Metropolitan Bishop John went to Syria, and he founded a monastery, and I came to Lebanon and founded, with the help of God, a small community, monastic community. But what is essential is what the abbot, our spiritual father, told us before leaving Mount Athos and Greece. He told us, anyway, you have to keep your canon and your fasting. These are the two essential things that we had to keep in our life, because we didn't know exactly where to live in our country because of the war. So I begin to explain what is the canon. What is the canon? We can name it also the personal prayer of the monk or of the priest. I was to tell you yesterday surprised and admired what Sayyidina Joseph told us about, especially about this relation between monasticism and priesthood, because I personally learned very much about this period when I was first in a monastery of Mount Athos, and there I learned exactly what's the Orthodox tradition of our church. And afterwards I passed 25 years in the monastery of Saint Michael in Baskinta, Lebanon. I learned something of the prayer, some experience of how to pray. That's why I am telling you the importance of prayer for not only the life of the priest, for his salvation, but also for the salvation of his parishioners. There is a very simple rule, a general rule, very simple but very difficult to practice, to execute, and in the sense of prayer and other things concerning the life of the priest and his parish. This rule says simply, if you want to teach someone to pray, you have to know yourself how to pray. You have to pray yourself. If you don't have a personal prayer beside the liturgical prayer, the common prayer, then how to help someone how to pray? It's also this rule for confession. If we have to confess someone and to help him how to open his heart, how to tell his thoughts, well, we have to be trained ourselves to confess ourselves to a spiritual father. That's why the priest, if really he wants to become a spiritual father and a good confessor, he has to have himself a confessor, a spiritual father. You know that usually in the church, a priest can be a simple priest without being a spiritual father. The bishop will give him الحجر.
The blessing the stone. For confession.
Yes.
That is Dionysius.
He making him
a father confessor.
Now, in our church in the Middle East, generally speaking, to tell you the truth, as you know, the people, they are not so used for confessing. Or we can say that they look to confession as simply a superficial habit before taking the communion. But what we have very much confessions, we have it in the monasteries, especially. This is not so good because initially every priest has to be a confessor, a spiritual father, as I was saying, because it is his mission. It is not a business thing to be a priest. It's really a great mission, a great responsibility, and every one of us will be judged on this responsibility, this mission, and this grace who we have from God to accept this divine mission. So I said that it's not enough to pray with the people in the church, the liturgical prayer, the common prayer. We must have also, every one of us, a personal prayer, what we call the canon, or in the West, for the Latins, they call it la règle, let's say, sort of personal prayer which every priest must have. Now, if we ask how to pray, and what to pray, we know from the Gospel that disciples ask the Lord, they asked him, teach us how to pray. And he told them, he teach them the Lord Prayer. Now, as if we want to take profit from the monastic tradition, the Orthodox monastic tradition, we have to speak somehow of the Jesus Prayer. But we have to know that not all the monks follow the Jesus Prayer. They can also use other prayers, as the Lord Prayer or other prayers like the Psalms, the prayers for the Theotokos or the Paraklesi, the Akathist. Now, for the Jesus Prayer, it's interesting to practice, to know this personal prayer, because it is very practical and very efficient for the one who is used, who is trained for this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. أيها الرب يسوع المسيح يا ابن الله ارحمني أنا الخاطي. Now you know that we repeat it very much as we are. We repeat Kyrie eleison many times. Or for the Virgin Mary, we say, Most Venerable Theotokos, save us. It's a practical prayer because we can practice it every time, every place. But if we have to practice it as a personal prayer, as a canon, it is very important in general for the priest to consecrate a certain time every day for his prayer, for his personal prayer. This is essential for his life, for his personal life, for his family, and for the parish. Now, it depends on his program, but generally, it is advised to pray in the early morning, but to pray very early in the morning, we have to sleep early in the evening before. This is the difficult for everyone, and even I know for the priest, because in the early morning our mind is clear. We say that we give the first thoughts of our mind to God, Bekurit Afkarna, and we will have some quietness and we have some health in order to stand up and pray our prayers. Now, our prayers, the program of our personal prayers, it depends on the spiritual father, our guide, and it depends of ourselves. Anyway, this prayer, if it's in the morning or in another time of the day, we have to stand up consciously and as some fathers, or like Saint John Climacus says that in the beginning of the prayer, in order to concentrate ourselves, we have to force ourselves and put our mind, he says, our mind in the letters of the prayer. We have to follow all the lexes of our prayer. This is for a certain time. It depends, the certain time, a quarter of an hour or 20 minutes. Afterwards, the prayer will be more easy, will be easier. And the grace of God will take up from us this effort and will continue more easily our prayer. standing like that, the experience shows that we make much profit of our morning prayer, or another time if it's really serious, because it gives us this spiritual energy in us, and we can afterwards go for our work with courage, with enthusiasm, and as I said, we will work with the Spirit of God, not as a machine in our usual work, and also in our behavior with other persons. This prayer, if it's, for example, in the morning, early morning, will give us a certain energy, يعني منخزن شو اسمه طاقة.
We build up vigilance.
We have this potential energy in us, and we will use it all the day. We will, like in science, we have the potential energy, and it will be transformed in cinetic energy. So this potential energy, which we acquired during this time, and generally it will be around 1 hour, more or less, we will use it during at least in the morning until noon. If we can also pray at noon, we'll pray, for example, the 50th psalm. And this, the prayer, if it's the Jesus prayer, be continued all the way during the day. It will not be concentrated, because we will be shattered meteorism. We'll have
distracted.
We will have distraction during the day, but still something will remain from our this personal concentrated prayer. That particularly for the Jesus prayer, because it is a small formula which can continue during the day, in the car, for example, going to work, or even for someone who is trained to pray. You know that this kind of prayer, it's not just for the Christians. There is something which is particular for the Orthodox, and some other particular for the Latins. But it exists also in Islam. It exists also in Buddhism and other religions. But for us, the Christian, the thing, the particular thing, and it's a very important thing, that this prayer is concentrated on the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why our fathers, great prayers of in the church were called Christocentric, Christocentric, because their life was concentrated on the person of Jesus Christ. Well, the fasting also helps very much. It's a question of experience. In the evening, for example, when we don't eat very much or something which is light. The other day, on Sunday, for example, will be more souple, more enthusiastic in our prayer in the church. This is important, not to eat, if it's possible. I don't know, for us the bishops, it's not always possible, because we have many meals to follow, and many times we are obliged to follow these meals. Anyway, we have to try to not to eat too much in the evening, especially. And generally, all the fast periods, which is organized in the church during the year, are very much in our life. This is something which the doctors know about how the stomach is working, and how it is it has a great influence in the life energy of the person and his work and him and his concentration of the mind. But it's a question of experience. We have to experience prayer and fasting. Let me tell you something interesting, which is in the book of Saint Macarius, the Egyptian father. One of his homilies, the 19th homily, he speaks about prayer. A very practically, and he says, the priest is enlightened by the light of God. When someone comes to the Lord, he has to force himself in order to make the good. It's a metaphor. It's a, in order to make the good, even if his heart doesn't want it, to force himself to love without having any desire, to force himself to have compassion, to be kind, and to force himself to pray without having the spiritual prayer, even without having the desire to pray. Many times we don't have it, but in the first place we have to force ourselves And afterwards it will be easier to continue. And he says, when God sees how much he struggles, forcing himself, while his heart doesn't want it, he will give him the real spiritual prayer, the real charity, the real love, the real kindness and compassion. So he's speaking out prayer and other things. With one word, he will fill him with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is an interesting paragraph of his homilies, the 19th one. So in conclusion, we say that the priest has to consecrate a special time, a regular time, every day for his prayer, for his meditation, and for also his readings. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Matthew 21:22. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will pray and have the answer for your prayer. In Romans, St. Paul says, 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And also in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given you, and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. The gospel is very clear about prayer. When it is a serious prayer from the depths of our heart and regularly, this is what we know about the Acts of the Apostles, when they say many, many places that the first Christians were gathered every day in prayer and in the Eucharist, the first Eucharist. And all things were common about them. That's what in the Acts we read. And there is something in James 5:14-16, where he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects. Is that another also paragraph? How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the court of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. It's Psalms 83:1-2. These are references from the Gospel. something also for the prayer, which we experience if we are well trained. In a deep prayer, in the deep prayer, especially in the Jesus prayer, we may be concerned about others' problems. Yani, if we are trained with this prayer, it will continue very easily, even if you are taken by other works. This is remind us from a phrase, a sentence of the Old Testament, the book of where he says that ana na'imun wa qalbi mustayqidh, I am sleeping and my heart is aware.
Is vigilant.
So it means that we can be in relation with others. We can even work and think about the usual our work, and in the same time our heart can continue somehow the prayer. It means that even during the day, if we are trained, we can be in relation with God in our mind and in our heart. And even it occurs sometimes while we are praying and while we are working in the same time for such a problem, for example, difficulty, it occurs sometimes that we find the good and suitable solution. It occurs, for example, for a student who is studying, who has, for example, a difficult problem in mathematics. If he is praying really, or if sometime if we are sleeping, but consciently, we'll find the solution of our problem. Now I pass for another subject of the priest, subject of confession. As a spiritual father, but still we can say that his advices, his counsels, they are good, profitable, but his prayers are more benefit, more useful. According to Elder Porphyrius, for example, who is a recent father, the prayer is like, he says, is like an energy which goes from the person, and it can go very far, even beyond death. And according to Saint Simeon, Simon, the new theologian, the priest, he speaks about the priest, and he says he's an intercessor, a mediator, and he compares him with a, here I call it a doorman, in French, huissier. We see the man who introduced someone for the king. Because he is opening for his son, spiritual son, the door, the gate of the kingdom of God. In confession, the priest is the godfather, Anathochos, who undertakes on his part the sin of others after confession. It's like if you have read the life of Saint Nectarius, for example, when he had a problem with someone, he takes on his part the
punishment or accusation.
Yes. He punishes himself in order to help the others. Sin is an illness. Confession is related with the mystery of repentance and spiritual guidance. This is the mystery of repentance, confession, and spiritual guidance. They are related between them. We know about from the gospel that the priest is invested with the authority of God and his power. Because in the gospel of St. John 20:23, he says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. They are retained. That's why we can raise this question. Is it confession for the priest, this power? Is it a canonical authority for him? Or is it a sort of divine gift? Some questions were raised about this problem. For example, a layman can be a confessor, or just the priest is allowed to confess sins of the others. Is it an authority or pure charisma of healing and curing souls' diseases and infirmities? Nevertheless, the priest in confession is witness to the repentance of the soul, bearing in mind that there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. So confession, it's related very much with repentance. There is no forgiveness for the sins from God if there is not repentance. Confession doesn't go without repentance. It's an essential condition for salvation. It's not just a helping mean in Christian life or a ritual work before communion. We know for the Russians, for example, they cannot take the Holy Communion without confession. But in our countries, many take the Holy Communion without confession and even without preparation. And this is the other extreme. Usually in the monasteries, we cannot have the Holy Communion, not without confession, without the blessing of the spiritual father. If we have the blessing of our spiritual father, who knows our state, we can take the communion. It's not for every liturgy, holy liturgy. I don't know here what is the habit in the parishes.
Most of the time we have a good amount of preparation and we take confession seriously. In some few churches, you know, because of the influence of the Middle Eastern, habit or practice, so that's why they don't care for confession. So we have some difficulty in some parishes, but in most of the parishes, confession is taken very seriously.
Yes. It is a mystery. It is a mystery. And it is the mystery of death and resurrection. I will explain that. And I remind you what I said already from the book The Life in Christ to Saint Nicholas Cabasilas, where he says that the mysteries of the church are like channels through which flows the loving and free grace of Jesus Christ, flowing from the cross. That is the new life in Christ. His book, his name, Life in Christ, within the church. The mystery of repentance and confession is the mystery of God's love for his church and for mankind. And I finish with the saying of Saint Isaac the Syrian, who says, when one confesses sincerely his sins, he is passing from death to life, experiencing in advance resurrection, realizing an act more important than the resurrection of death. And he adds, the one who confesses his sins is more important than the one who raises from death. Saint Ephrem the Syrian says also, the church, his definition for the church is a group of members of repentant people.
Thank you very much.
Now, I suggested to Sayyidina to have questions for afternoon. I wrote some questions about these presentations. Maybe afternoon we'll discuss, if you prepare somehow the answers, if you have your ideas, your experience about what we said about the priest, life of priest, his prayer, his role of confessor. Maybe Sayyidina will say for you that. No.